In honor of the season, we have Purim coming up, but before Purim is Parshas Zachar. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that, actually, about the mitzvah of Zechirah Samalik, but really the broader sense, the concept of Zechirah as a mitzvah in general. We have a number of mitzvahs that are patterned around Zechirah. The truth is there are different counts. It's most commonly understood that there are six such mitzvot, but there are some who count fewer, there are some who count more. Some understand that it'd be four mitzvot of Zechira. Some understand there to be others that we don't normally count. For example, if you look in the Levi Yitzchak of Berditch's Sefer, the Kedushas Levi, Al Torah, so he has a section there, a beer on the Zechiras, and he has different ones than we normally count. So if you add up all the different ones, you could get nine or so. Or more, but it's most prevalently understood that there are six. And those six, the most commonly accepted as Zechiros, but known as the six Zechiros, are Shabbos, and Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Maamar Har Sinai, and Maaseh HaEgel, and Maaseh Miriam, and Amalek. So I'd like to talk a little bit about those six together. First of all, how they're treated by Halacha. And that's an interesting topic in and of itself, and how they are completely different from each other. All six of these are treated totally differently, and that itself is interesting because really we don't have a indication from the Torah that they are any different if basically the same terminology is used in each case. So it's hard to know how to distinguish similar terminology. And sometimes the Torah says also, don't forget, that it says by Amalek, and the Gemara in Megillah assumes that that double language has significance. So there are some differences, but for the most part, the differences in Halacha are not really explained by the Chumash itself, and so that is striking. So some Achronim suggest that this is a reflection of the concept that we find in a number of places of Masur HaKasav L'Chachamim. That really these are dinim min haTorah, but the details of how they would play out, how they would be performed, that was given over to Chazal to formulate as they saw fit, which is a concept that we see in other areas. We see it perhaps most well known in the context of Melachas Chol HaMoed, as a Tosfos in Chagiga and Daf Yud Ches and the Gemara there already, which indicates this, that there the concept is that Melechus Chalamoi is apparently a concept min haTorah, and yet the Gemaras, they sound like they're dealing with Drabbanans, the type of dinim that apply there. So there, it's explained that that's an example of a din that is min haTorah, but the details Chazal were given to establish, that's Masur HaKasav L'Chachamim. So it could be that the Zechiras are in that category as well, that the concepts are basically min haTorah, but Chazal defined the parameters of how they play out. So it happens to be that they manifest themselves in very different ways. So just we're going to briefly survey some of the issues of how they're played out, how they manifest themselves. So first of all, the one that was in the parasha 2 weeks ago, Zachar Es Yom HaShabbos V'Kadesho, is one of the Ten Commandments. So that is primarily understood to be the mitzvah min haTorah of Kiddush. And that we could say much about, but we have in the past, so we won't spend so much time tonight talking about it. But we know that at the very least it means that there's something that has to be said Friday night in recognition of Shabbos. There is a possibility that maybe on a Dereis level it could be Yosei with Hirhur, with thought, but Pashto is something you have to say. And the Gemara tells us not only do you have to say it, but you have to say it in the presence of wine. Although that wine, as we've discussed, it's an Achlokas Rishonim, whether that is a Din Min HaTorah. It's very possible that's a Din Derabanan, many Rishonim believe. But that's part of the process, but probably Min HaTorah is not necessarily part of what's going on. And that, this fulfillment of Kiddush, is the core fulfillment of Zachar Shem HaShabbos L'Kadesho. We do find other things involved as well. For example, when we say Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos, Yom Yom Shlishi B'Shabbos, as Ramban writes in Chumash, that's also a fulfillment on some level of Zechirat Shabbos. And we know the Gemara says when you go shopping and you decide you're going to buy something, we'll cover Shabbos Kodesh, so then that's another fulfillment of Zechirat Shabbos. But the primary representation of this idea in Halacha is Kiddush. Again, we won't spend so much time on that because it's a whole topic in itself that we've talked about in the past. But moving on to the other Zechiris, so Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim takes upon itself a different form. Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim is obligatory every day. It's the Gemara in the end of the first parak of Brachas. It tells us it's an obligation not only every day, but every night as well. Twice a day, during the daytime and during the nighttime. And the way we fulfill this obligation, again, the most prominent way in which we fulfill this obligation, seems to be through Kriya Shema. The third paragraph of Kriya Shema makes references to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we recite Kriya Shema twice a day. And as you're probably familiar, it's Machlokas Rishonim, how much of Kriya Shema is Minhag Torah. There is a minority of Rishonim that none of Kriya Shema is Minhag Torah. That's probably not accepted. We assume Kriya Shema is an obligation of HaTorah, but then there's Machlokas within that, how much of it? So some Rishonim say just the first sentence, just Shema Yisrael. Some say the first paragraph. Some say the first two paragraphs. The Prichad HaShraiti thinks that's really the most logical position. It should be the first two paragraphs. And then there are those who say all three paragraphs. So all three paragraphs is hard to justify because the first two paragraphs contain within them, the Shinantum Vanacha contain within them psukim that indicate that you have to say them. But the third paragraph, and remember these three paragraphs are not together in Chumash, so the third paragraph doesn't have any instruction within it that makes it obvious it's going to be Din Minatorah. So it seems that the idea there is, and this is an idea the Rav expanded on as Yortzeit Shirim, and you see it in the Rambam already, that this is a fulfillment of the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why it's Minatorah, not necessarily because of Kriya Shema, qua Kriya Shema, but because of the obligation of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, so therefore we have to recite this paragraph in order to fulfill that. If you look in the Rav Shirim, he explains exactly what the connection is, how Kriya Shema and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim have a joint fulfillment and why that is, but that's a little bit of a tangent. So that's a obligation that we have to fulfill every day and every night. Also shows up in some other mitzvahs as well. You know, tefillin has aspects of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kiddush has aspects of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. But primarily, we recite it every day as part of Kriya Shema, and we fulfill the obligation that way. So that really does prompt the question, then, as the Prima Gadim deals with. The question, basically, why is this night different than every other night? Right? So what's the significance of Seder night? Seder night is a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So how does that differ from a mitzvah we have every day? What's so special about Pesach night? So that's something a lot of Achronim struggle with. What exactly is it that sets aside Pesach night? And there are a number of theories. Some suggest that really, some Sofer writes in the Tshuva, that every day you actually could be Yotzei Behirhur. You could just do it mentally. And Pesach night you have to say it out loud. Others take this further and say that the idea is you have to say it to other people. That's the whole interactive idea that we have Pesach night and the whole question and answer format of Manishtana and the like. And others suggest that the idea is that we have to expand on it, that every day you could be yotzei just by mentioning, and Pesach night you have to actually go into detail, and that's the aspect of the mitzvah at that time. So that's another topic that's discussed. It's also discussed in Svarim, why is it that we don't make a bracha on this mitzvah? There are different theories. I think we mentioned last week when we were talking about Shalach Manas, basically if you have a question why there's no bracha on any given mitzvah, so the first two places you look, right, what's the first place you look? First you say the Shuvah HaRagba, and then you go to the Beis Yosef and Hilchos Yachamis. So here too, that is invoked, one for each. That the Tshuvah HaRashba, that you don't make a bracha on mitzvos that involve other people. So if Pesach night, at least, if the mitzvah is based on interaction, so then maybe that's why there's no bracha, some suggest. And if the Ikar Kiyum of Zechira is belave, that either because you could do it mentally, maybe that's true about the daily Kiyum, or because really even if you have to spell it out, that the Kiyum is in the Zechira and that's internal, so then they'll point to the Beis Yosef that mitzvah shebelev doesn't get a bracha. So that's those are some theories that are out there. There is another interesting theory I saw once in one of the journals that suggested that you have two problems, you have two halachas that together create a problem to make a bracha on Zechiras Yosef Mitzrayim. On the one hand, we have an obligation of overlaf yasin, the bracha's got to be before the mitzvah. On the other hand, we don't know what the shir is for Zechiras Yosef Mitzrayim. Pashtus, there isn't any shir. As soon as you mention it, you yotze. So how exactly the bracha going to work? You're going to make a bracha, Asher Kishanu Mitzvoso V'Tzivanu Al Zechiras Yosef Mitzrayim. And by the time you finish the bracha, you'll be yotze. So how are you going to make the bracha before the mitzvah? The bracha itself will be the mitzvah. So that's an issue, and therefore maybe for that reason you should make a bracha. There is some discussion in Achronim, the Prima Gadim, and the Shalag Zaye, about whether or not we should view this as a mitzvah seisha as managrama. Because it's interesting, I think we've mentioned in the past, maybe not, the whole issue with the Ketzef Mishnah. The author of the Shulchan Aruch was of the belief that Sof Sman Kriya Shma is a great limud zchus on people. Sof Sman Kriya Shma is drabanan, according to the Beis Yosef, according to Ketzef Mishnah. Why is that true? Because, according to him, because there is a lack of parallelism between the two mitzvahs. The Torah says b'shach b'cha of kumacha. So if b'shach b'cha is interpreted as all night, then min ha-Torah there's no Sof Sman Kriya Shma at night. That's the way we assume. So then during the daytime also, it should be parallel. There should be no Sof Sman Kriya Shma either. So it must be that Sman Kriya Shma is Rabbanan, and min ha-Torah really could go all day. So the Taz, Magen Avram, disagreed with this, and they explained that that's a grammatical difference between B'shach B'cha and B'kumecha. B'shach B'cha means you are lying down, B'kumecha means you get up, it's the beginning of the process, doesn't mean when you're standing. But part of what they used to argue on this is the fact that the Mishnah says in Brachos that Kriya Shma is a mitzvah seisha as van grama. And according to the Ketzef Mishnah, it's going to come out that it shouldn't be. It's going to come out that it's going all day and all night, 24-7. So it's not a mitzvah seisha as van grama. So what do you see from the Ketzef Mishnah's position? Why does he not worry about that? Because even though it's going 24-7, but it's two different mitzvahs. It shifts. It goes from the daytime version to the nighttime version. So apparently, in his view, if mitzvah is going 24-7, but it's a shift, two different shifts, so then that's not called, that's still called mitzvah seisha as man grama. So the other nafkamina, that machlokas, whether such a situation is called mitzvah seisha as man grama, is the Zechiras Yosef Mitzrayim. Here too, you have an obligation that's basically running 24-7, but it's a daytime mitzvah and a nighttime mitzvah. So is that called mitzvah seisha as man grama? Apparently, the Ketzef Mishnah would say yes. And those who argued with him would say no. And if you had such a structure, you can't call that a mitzvah seisha as man grama. So that affects the story of the Zechiras Yosef Mitzrayim. So moving on, so what about a malik? So how do we perform a malik? So that, of course, is the timeliness of talking about tonight. That's what we're going to do next Shabbos. So Kriyas HaMalek, we have a special Shabbos for, the Shabbos before Purim, where we read from the Torah Parashat Zachar. So many assume that this is maybe the one time of the year, or close to it, where Kriyas HaTorah is Daraisa. Normally Kriyas HaTorah is Takanas Chachamim, maybe even a Takanas Moshe Rabbein, or Takanas Ezra, very old Takana, but it's not a Din Min HaTorah. And Parshas Zachar seems to be the exception, that the way they understand the Rosh in the seventh parak of Brachos, and there's some debate if even the Rosh meant this or not, but there seems to be a voice in Rishonim that says that not only is there a mitzvah in a Torah to remember a Malik, that we'll all agree, as the Torah clearly states, but that this mitzvah on a Daraisa level has to be performed with a Sefer Torah and with a minyan. That's implied by the Rosh in his commentary to Brachos, because the Rosh there talks about being Meshachar and Eved in order to fulfill a mitzvah, and he suggests that the mitzvah requires a minyan, such as reading Zachar. Apparently he believes that laning with a minyan is all part of the Din Min HaTorah. You also get this from a Trumas Hadeshin. Trumas Hadeshin has the tshuva where somebody asked him, he says he doesn't live somewhere where there's a minyan, and he's going to make sure that he's going to be in a place where there's a minyan for Purim, so he can hear the Megillah. And once he's going, he wants to know, should he try to be there for Shabbos also, so he should hear Zachar. And the Trumas Hadeshin says, Adarabba, you should be there more for Shabbos than for Purim, because Purim doesn't really need a minyan. You don't have to have a minyan for Megillah. But Parsha Zachar, that's the Din Min HaTorah, you have to be there for that. Oh, so that's another machlokas, actually, right? So that we'll discuss a little bit, it's a shaila, whether or not you can fulfill Zacher with that. We'll come back to that. But so the Truma Sadashin says, yeah, you got to be there for Parsha Zacher even more than you have to be there for the Megillah. It's also the impression you get from Tosfos in a couple places, Tosfos in the beginning of the second Parak of Brachos, and in Megillah and Daf Yud Zayin, all seems to say like this idea that reading Zachar is Ben HaTorah, Davka from a Sefer Torah and Davka with a Minyan. And there are maybe others who disagree. The Ramban probably disagrees, and the Rambam probably disagrees. The Brisker Rav is Medayik and the Rambam. They believe all of the Dalai Parshias are all the Rabbanan, equal to each other. But there is this strong view that Zachar with a Sefer Torah and with a Minyan is Ben HaTorah. So some Achronim explain why it should be. So how do you know that from the Chumash? So it could be that the Sefer Torah comes from the fact that the Pasuk says, Sov Zos Zikaron Basefer, that the remembering of a Malik should be written in the Sefer, so we'll need a Sefer Torah. And the idea of a Minyan may come from the fact that since fighting a Malik is not a mitzvah yachid, it's a mitzvah on the Tzibur, so too, remembering a Malik is something that has to be done together with a Tzibur, it's not something to do alone. So okay, so let's presume that all of that is part of the obligation, the Sefer Torah and the Minyan, but why do we have to do it once a year? So let's do it once a lifetime, or once a Yovel, or a Shemitah, or let's do it once a month. And how do we decide how often to do it? So they say, based on the Chassam Sofer, and it's not so beferish in the Chassam Sofer's Tshuvas, it comes more from the Talmidim, like the Maram Shik, that the idea is that there's a concept called, what they'll call a Shir Shikcha. That basically, if the Torah says you have to remember Amalek and not forget it, right, it says also don't forget Amalek, so how long does it take to forget? How long, if we leave you alone and we don't remind you, how long will it take to forget? So the idea that the Chassam Sofer had was that if 12 months pass, so that's called a Shir Shikcha. How do you know that? Because we know the Gemara says that in the context of Avelis, in the end of Brachas, the Gemara says that after Yud Beis Chodesh, Hameis Mishtakeach Min Haleif, if somebody who passed away, you start to forget them. And the Gemara says in the second parak above Mitzi, in the context of Yeish, when people give up hope over their lost property, so Stam Yeish is Yud Beis Chodesh. After 12 months, you start to give up hope. So apparently, after 12 months, things fade, and that's this Shir Shikcha. So that gave rise to a question of a possible Chumra that the Sfarim discussed, and you can see this more in the Maram Shik and in the latest Sfarim than in the Chassam Sofer himself. But some suggested this creates a problem for leap years. During a leap year, so we have an extra month, 13 months pass, and that extra month is stuck in right before Zachar, so isn't that problematic? So you're going to go more than 12 months without having the fulfillment of Zachar. So some suggest that during those years you should have Kavanah during the summer, during Parshas Kiseitze, when it's read in the normal cycle, to be Yotze Zachor then. And if the question, or Tzitzis Achlenk has, so you have to make sure the Baal Kore knows what you're doing, you have to make sure the Baal Kore has Kavanah to be Motzi in this, so that's part of the deal, because they need special Kavanah to be Motzi in this. So that's a discussion that some have. So that's also then the question is how important is that, right? And is that really a suffix? What about Zachar and Zachar? That's an interesting dean as well. That's an interesting question. People are not going to do that during the summer or during leap years. Good question. But in any event, there are those who disagree with this whole chumrah for two possible reasons. One reason, and I remember Rabbi Willig gave a shir about this, a shir klali, I think it was in 1992. On this topic, that Zachar, that to say a year is a Shir Shikcha doesn't mean 12 months literally. It means that the cycle of the year, when the year reboots, right, when the new year gets to the same point again, so then things start anew and you forget what happened before. So if the year takes 13 months, it takes 13 months. It doesn't mean literally 12 months. But the other way to disagree with this is to deny the whole concept of the Shir Shikcha B'chol. Now, Sama Rav has a truth about this in which he expresses his question as to whether or not there is such an idea of Shir Shikcha. And he notes that neither of these rayas that the Chassam Sofer brought are too powerful. The idea of Ehameis Mishdakech Menalei Velach Yud Beis Chodesh, that means that you have somebody who passed away, Rechman al-Tan, you're trying to get over it. So after a year of trying to get past it, So then it starts to work after a year. Doesn't mean that if you have a mitzvah to remember something, that you're going to forget it after a year. It means that when you're trying all year to forget something, it starts to work after Yud Beis Chodesh. And the idea of Yeish after Yud Beis Chodesh, that doesn't mean you forgot about it. It means you give up hope of getting it back. But it doesn't have anything to do with forgetting. So he questions whether this whole idea of the Shir Shikha is really there. And he says the reason we read it when we do is nothing to do with 12 months. It has to do with the fact that Chazal wanted it to be there because of the thematic similarity to Purim. That since Purim is about the war with Amalek, so therefore we should remember Amalek immediately before Purim. So if this is true, that we don't really have a set time for this mitzvah, so it should seem that Amalek is not a mitzvah say Shazman Grama. But the problem is, there is a view in Poskim that women are Peturis from mitzvah Sechiras Amalek, and this is really a machlokus that continues Ad Yom Hazeh. It's a big debate in Achronim. Masorah is quoting the name of Nassim Adler, the Rabbi Chaim Sofer, that he made sure that every woman in his household, all the maids, everyone would go to hear Zacher. And others disagree. This really comes from a Sefer Achinuch. Sefer Achinuch writes that women are pater because of the function of Mochama, that this is an aspect of Mochama. And you know, the Gemara in the beginning of Kedushin says that Ein Darka Shalisha Lachsa Mochama. So this is a male thing to be involved in Mochama, so therefore women are not part of that story. Other Achronim didn't understand this so much because they say that this is a Mochamas Mitzvah. And the Mishnah says in Sota that for a Mochamas Mitzvah, Filu Kala Michupasa goes out to get involved. And brides are generally female. So that seems to call into question the idea that women wouldn't be involved in Mochamas Amalek. So this is a machlokus that continues to rage on Yom HaZeh. A little bit of an unresolved point, whether or not women are chayavas in Chiras Amalek. We know that the shuls often have special readings for them. They go to the great kircha to make sure to be able to hear Zachar. While at the same time, there are those who believe that they're pater completely. It's also a question, as Alan pointed out, just briefly mentioned, there is a question, Machlokas HaPoskim, whether or not you can be Yotze with the Kriyas HaTorah on Purim. That the Kriyas HaTorah on Purim, which reads the section from B'Shalach, it's a different reference to Amalek. So can you be Yotze Amalek with that? So that's a little bit of a question. Doesn't contain the Tzivoy to us to remember Amalek. Maybe that's Davka the Mitzvah to remember that. So that was a Shaila in Poskim. And it's also a discussion why it is there's no Bracha on that Mitzvah. And many quote, in this context, the idea of Chazal, and it's a Chuvas HaRashba that has this in a different context, that anything that involves people dying, we don't celebrate, we don't say Hallel, we don't say full Hallel on the last day of Pesach, and we don't want to give Hodah on fighting Amalek, because as important as it is, it involves people dying, this is not something that we're going to be able to express simcha about. So that's Maram Shik has that in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, and others have this discussion as well. One of possible suggestions as to why it is we don't make a bracha on this mitzvah. Okay, so what about the other three? So those first three are pretty prominent in our practice. We all recite Kiddush, we all say Zecher Yitzchak Mitzrayim many times, and we have a big deal about Parsha Zachar. What about the other three? Don't seem to get as much attention. So when it comes to Maamar HaSinai, so some suggest that Maamar HaSinai is sufficient that we have Chag HaShavuos. Chag HaShavuos is a whole yontif, it's dedicated to remembering the giving of the Torah, so that is effective to fulfill the idea of remembering Maamar HaSinai. But what about the other two? The other two are Egel HaZav and Maisa Miriam. So what do we do about them? So there, some point out that really we're better off than we used to be, because nowadays, so we read the entire Torah every year, wasn't always the case, but nowadays we have an annual cycle of Kriyas HaTorah. So really, all the Zechiras are covered in the normal cycle of laning. And since Egel Azav and Miriam are both disgraceful episodes, they both involve Averis, so they're things we'd rather forget. But we're not allowed to, we have to remember. Okay, so we'll remember, but we're not going to make a whole event around it. We're going to rely on the fact that it's covered during a normal Kriyas HaTorah. But it's interesting that we don't do more than that. The Ramban writes in his Hasagas on the Ram Sefer HaMitzvahs that both of these, Ma'aseh Egel and Miriam, these are real mitzvahs in HaTorah. They should be counted as part of the Tayyag mitzvahs. He put this as part of his mitzvah Seish Shachach HaRambam. This is some among the mitzvahs the Rambam forgot about. It's a funny lesson to say, you forgot. You know, the Rambam sitting at home and thinking, oh my gosh, you should write this wrong. And it's already at the printer, I'll leave it. Yeah, flashes, well, he just didn't think they were mitzvahs, but that's the way that's what Ramban writes, that he forgot these mitzvahs. And, you know, the Ravid has all these strong lashonis, Ramban always puts it in the title. You know, the Ramban forgot these mitzvahs, and he writes, these are real obligations that we have to really count as a real mitzvah, and his parish and Chumash writes this also, that Miriam, for example, is a real mitzvah saseh, min HaTorah. We have to remember what happened to Miriam. So, there is one other angle that might help as far as Egel is concerned, that it's interesting, so we mentioned that Parshas Zachar is probably the only Kriyas HaTorah that is Min HaTorah, but there is another candidate as well, and that is Parshas Parah, that you find in the beginning of the second parak of Brachos, a lot of Rishonim have a mysterious reference to Parshas Parah as potentially a Din Min HaTorah. And the Tosfos has in Brachos this whole discussion, because the Gemara has a machlokas whether Torah is B'lashon HaKodesh Nemra or B'chol Lashon Nemra, and the Gemara interprets Psukim to try to figure it out. The Tosfos asks, well, who cares? What do you mean? What's the nafkamina l'halacha whether Torah is B'lashon HaKodesh or not? Are we talking about for purposes of learning? It's not true. No one's going to say you're not allowed to learn in translation. Everyone is masking that learning doesn't have to be B'lashon HaKodesh. So, and you can't tell me it's for Kriyas HaTorah purposes, because Kriyas HaTorah is a Dindra Abundance. So why is the Gemara using Psukim to try to figure it out? So Tosfos says, well, there are Kriyas that are Min HaTorah, such as Parshas Bikurim and Kriyashma and Parshas Parah. That's how some Rishonim have. They fill in this list, Parshas Parah. So, where does that come from? Who says Parshas Parah is Min HaTorah? So, some say it's a typo, that it doesn't really mean it. That maybe the original Rishonim that says pay, and meant Parshas Purim, it's a reference to Amalek, and the Parshas Parah, they never meant to say. Rabbi Schechter doesn't feel that makes any sense. He says that this is in too many Rishonim that are not copying from each other, that clearly there was a real Masorah and Rishonim that this is Min HaTorah. So, what's it based on? So if you look in the Kesef, if you look in the Meshech Chachma, in Parshas Chukah, so he has one Hezbah, but the Malbim and others have a different Hezma. The Malbim suggests that this may relate to the missing mitzvah of Zechiras Egel Hazav. That we have a mitzvah without a performance, and we have a action without a tzivoy, so we can make a shirach. And maybe these two are related. That why is it we're supposed to remember the Ma'isa HaEgel? Not because we want to make fun of ourselves, we want to remember our disgrace, and be ma'ana ourselves with Dvarim. But the purpose is that we want to remember tshuva, the fact that it's possible to come back. Even after you fall, it's still possible to come back. And that's represented by the Paraduma. The Paraduma is considered to be the tikkun for the Egel Hazav. And the Chazal have this imagery of Yavo Ha'em, that the mother should come and clean up the mess that was made by the child, that was made by the calf. And therefore, that's the imagery of the Paraduma, and maybe we fulfill remembering the Egel. We don't want to read the parish of the Egel itself because it's a disgrace for us, but the Paraduma has the effect of connecting us with the Egel in a positive sense, of the ability to come back and do tshuva, and maybe that's really what it is that we want to focus on. Okay, so those are some of the varying halachic practices, and of course there's much more to say about all of these, but just as far as a brief survey, those are some of the varying halachic approaches to those six zechiros. So that's interesting in of itself, but also it's the very notion of zachar is surprising. You know, we spend so much time in the Beis Medrash. If there's only six things we have to know, we really could save a lot of time. You don't have to put in so many hours. So it's hard to believe that the rest of the Torah you don't have to remember, and in fact we know very strongly that that's not the case, and the Torah also has its own special prohibition against forgetting the Torah. So there's got to be something different about these six concepts. So, of course, it seems to be that there is Zechira and there is Zechira. And to illustrate the point, so we know there is a din of Hasra. If you're going to try to have somebody executed in Bezdin, very difficult task. And part of why it's so difficult is because the person needs to have Hasra beforehand. He needs to be properly warned. And the Hasra, in addition to all the other complicating factors that are there, it also has to be Toch Kedei Dibur, right, which in its most expansive definition is 9 seconds, let's say, at most. So, basically, the din is that if more than 9 seconds pass between the Hasra and the Avera, so the Hasra expires. Now, why does it expire? So it sounds like from Rashi and Ksuvis that we're afraid the guy may have forgotten. It's very hard to believe, right? Somebody's about to kill somebody, and you say, you know, you're not allowed to do that, that's us, or no, I didn't realize, thank you for telling me, you know, like, I understand. And then a minute later, he does it anyway. Like, you know, what's up? It's up. It's 30 seconds ago, you think I remember? It's very hard to believe that you really forget so quickly. So they say that this is something that Ksos HaChoshen and some of Chavchas have a very hard time with. Reb Zalman Nechemi Goldberg Shlita that has a sefer Hishir Mahalchus Avis called Leiv HaMishpat. And in the Hakdama, there's a whole discussion about learning and memory. He talks about this Ksos. A very difficult idea to say that you're going to forget just because 10 seconds has passed. Is hard to believe. And the Rav is often quoted as having explained in this context that the purpose of Hasra is not really to know that you're amazed in the sense of that you know it's awesome. That's not what we mean. We say that we only execute somebody who's amazed. It doesn't mean that you're amazed just because you're aware that it's awesome. That the idea of executing amazed, the Rav is quoted as having explained, is you want to know, ad heichan hu parek o, to what extent is this individual rebelling against the Torah? So it's not just that he's willing to do an avera, but he's willing to do an avera while he is thinking actively about the nature of the avera. That it's in his active consciousness right now. It's not only that it's there in his mental file cabinet, and if you ask him, he'll tell you it's also, but he's thinking about it as he does it. So the only way to be sure that he's thinking about it as he does it is to give Hasra immediately before, to know that it's in his active conscious, not only that it's in his head that you could recall it if you ask him, but that it's actively what he's thinking about right now. That's what you need in order to be qualified as amazing. So this just illustrates the point a little bit that there's remembering and there's remembering. There's remembering that means you know about it, and if somebody asks you, it's there. There's also remembering means you're actively thinking about it right now, and apparently that's a new madrega, and that seems to be what the zechiras are aimed at. And we'll explain that more in a second. So you understand. It's related. Right, but the explain also the idea of, I mean, did he use it to explain davka that as opposed to chedei dibur? I think it explains both in him. But the point is that after, you certainly need it for this, because to say it's forgetting, in the sense that it's wiped out of your memory, it's very hard to believe. Right? If it's 30 seconds past, wiped out of your memory.
Well, you need backup anyway.
Right. But still, how much time can be, worse time?
Just tonight, you see that it can't be that you're getting punished. That's the big thing, you can't just get punished.
But how do we know that he heard? How do you know that he understood?
No, you need the Hasra also.
Right, but how do we know that the Hasra was effective if he's not Amat Rasmus? Yeah. So maybe we didn't hear it, maybe he didn't understand.
No, then the fact that he's not Rasmus, I thought that was like proof for those ideas. I thought that was the main
thing. I don't know if that's the only, if that's the only way to interpret it. Right. It could be, but either way it explains both points. Because otherwise, to say that it's simply a function of forgetting mamish is very hard to believe, and all of us teachers should quit right away. This is clearly a very futile business. If everybody forgets, totally wiped clean 10 seconds later, it's not really a promising profession. But if not, we're talking about that it's, we understand that it's still in your memory, but it's got to be in your active consciousness. So apparently, the ideas that we single out for Zechira, and to assume there's some significance to Klal Yisrael's consensus, so to speak, on these six, even though there is some debate, that perhaps these six form a hashkafic system, that is especially significant, and it's not enough that we know about it, but it's required that we actively have this on our consciousness all the time. So if that's true, so what is it about? What's the system telling us? So I think you could say it as follows. Basically, what's the first step of Jewish philosophy? What's the first thing we have to know? You have to know God created the world. That everything was put into place by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is Zechiras HaShabbos. Remember that God created the world and He set everything in motion. So Shabbos reminds us of that. That's step one. So now you might say, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but maybe He's not involved anymore. And maybe you'll be a deist and you believe that God created the world, but then He set it into motion and He left it. And how do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to be involved in the world? So the second Zechira is Zechira Tzitzias Mitzrayim. We should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actively involved in history, that He's actively guiding things, that it's not Stam things happen, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to be actively involved. So then you could say, okay, that's nice, but how do we know that there are any obligations on us? So maybe God created the world and He's running things, but we just live our lives and we don't have any specific responsibilities in regards to that. So that brings us to Zechiras Maamar Har Sinai, that we have to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us instructions, He made a deal with us, told us what we have to do. And it's not only that we're here, but that we have active responsibilities in the world. But if that's the case, if we have these responsibilities, so then the question could be, so maybe if we mess up from these responsibilities, if we fail, so then maybe there's no coming back. Maybe there's no way to come back from having fallen off this path. So therefore we have to remember the Egel Hazav, and remember that there's a Parah Aduma also, that there is a Tikkun to the falling, and that even if we stumble from this path, it's still possible to come back. So those four Zechiras together make that package, that God created the world, continues to run it, gave us what to do, and is ready to take us back if we stumble. So what's left for the other two, for Amalek and Miriam? So the Amalek and Miriam could together form two halves of the same coin. Now what is the message of Amalek? The message of Amalek is that the world is not only made up of good and less good and differently good and somewhat good, but that there is bad also. You know, that there is bad, things that have to be removed, and are not subject to being fixed up. And that whatever good may be mixed in with that is not susceptible to being purified by that good. And perhaps that's why we dafka have to remember Amalek in the context of a Sefer Torah and a Minyan, which are two things that are normally able to cover up flaws and raise things up, Torah and the Koach HaTzibur. And maybe the point is that even with these things, still there are things that have to be mamish wiped out. And that's what Amalek represents. It represents those things that are so bad that even whatever good might get mixed in is not going to outweigh the bad. Now, Miriam represents the other side of the equation, because Miriam must remind us of Lashon Hara, and we know it's related also to the Avera of Givas Haaretz. And both of those Averas, speaking badly about people and speaking badly about the land of Israel, they're very hard to understand. That you could say, listen, I've got true things to say. I'm saying things that are true. So what do you want from me? So apparently the response to that would be that, yes, the facts you're saying are true, but if you really had a sense of perspective, if you really appreciated what your fellow Jew means, if you really appreciated what Eretz Yisrael means, so then these little details wouldn't be on your mind. So the fact that you are able to focus on the bad in the light of such good, that's a very serious mistake. And the message of Miriam is to remember that there are some things that are so good that the bad that could be mixed in doesn't change that. So it's two opposite sides of the coin. Amalek is, there are some things that are so bad, having good mixed in doesn't help. And the point of Miriam is there are some things that are so good, and having bad mixed in doesn't help. And together they form this message that there is good and bad in the world, that there are extremes of good and bad. And then we can look at the rest of the world, can fall in somewhere in between once we have values of right and wrong, so then the rest falls into the middle. So this is also a key element of the philosophy, that therefore to complete the package, so we have to know constantly Akash Baruch, who created the world, continues to be involved, gave us responsibilities, so he's ready to take us back if we stumble, and that the world is made up of right and wrong, and good and bad, and everything in between. Okay, so just to quickly review, we spoke about the fact that there are commonly understood to be six zechiros, even though there were those who thought there were fewer, those who thought there were more, and each one of these zechiros is performed differently. The halacha that Shabbos represents itself in Kiddush and in Yom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos and in shopping for Shabbos, and Yetzias Mitzrayim represents itself every day and night with Kriya Shema, the third paragraph of Kriya Shema, and assorted other mitzvos, and in Pesach night it comes in a more intense form, and the different theories as to what's the difference between every night and Pesach. Maybe Pesach you have to say it out loud, you have to say it to others, you have to say it in more detail, and discuss also the question of why don't you make a bracha in Zechiras Mitzrayim, maybe because it can't believe, or maybe because it's interactive, or maybe because the bracha itself would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah. And we also talked about the question whether the mitzvah says Shazman Gram, if you have a mitzvah that's going 24/7, but it goes into different shifts. So is that called mitzvah say Shazman Gram or not? That was Machlok Sapolitsky. And then we talked about Zechiras HaMalek. We talked about the view of Rush and Shemus Hadesh and the Tosis, that the laning, the Tzibor, is the mitzvah Menat Torah, and other Rishonim, and Rambam and Rabban might disagree. And to say mitzvah Menat Torah maybe is based on the idea of Sosov, Sikar, and Besefer as far as Sefer Torah is concerned, and the fact that Melchemes HaMalek is a mitzvah Satzibor as far as the minion is concerned. And then we discussed the question of why it should be once a year. We discussed this concept of the Chsan Sof of the Shir Shikha, that every 12 months you start to forget based on Velus and Yeish. And then we discussed the question that poses for leap years and the position that you should be Machmer during a leap year to hear Zachar during Parshas Kisetze. And the possible reasons why you might not worry about that, either because you don't take it as 12 months, you take it as a cycle of a year, however long that is, or because you don't believe in the whole Shir Shikha idea, and that if you don't think either Raya is compelling Sabarav, and that really it's just put where it is in order to proceed Purim because of thematic similarity to Purim. Then we discussed the question of whether Nashim should be Pater or not, Machlok Sechronim, it doesn't seem like it's a of Managrama. Maybe it's a component of Mohammed itself, a little bit of a question, especially in relation to a Malik, why women should be exempt from that, and that's a machlokas that continues. And discuss also the question of why there's no bracha, and the view that there's no bracha on people dying, and that may play a role here as well. And then we talked about the other three, the Maamar Har Sinai seems to be attended to by Chag HaShavuos, but the other two are a little more mysterious. The Ramban says we really have to worry about that, that should really be considered to be a mitzvah Sosayim in our Torah. So some suggest that since we lay in the whole Torah every year, so that's really enough, and since these two are disgraceful, they're Averis, we made Lashon Hara and Degel Azav, so therefore we don't want to have a whole ceremony to remember them. And there's another possibility as far as Degel Azav is concerned, that the Rishonim who believe that Parshas Parah is Minat Torah, the Malbim suggests that that's the fulfillment of Degel Azav, because the whole point is to remember coming back from the downfall, and Parah Duma is the Tikkun for the Degel Azav. We then discussed also the question of what does it mean to single out the concept through Zechira of the whole Torah, you have to remember. We discussed that there's remembering and there's remembering, as we see from Hasra, Tochdei Dibur, and the idea that after Tochdei Dibur you're going to forget, so as the Rav explained, that it doesn't mean your mom is going to forget, you're not going to know about it anymore, it means that it's not going to be in your active consciousness. So too, these six Zechiras have to really be on your mind, not just in your mental filing cabinet, but they have to be something you think about. And Chazal then determined exactly how that would be brought about, but that seems to be the idea. And then we discuss why should these six ideas be singled out, and we suggest they form a Hashgafic unit, that Shabbos teaches us that God created the world, and Yetzias Mitzrayim, that he continues to be involved, and Maamar Har Sinai, that he put responsibilities on us, and Maisa Egel through Parshas Parah to teach us that we can come back even if we go astray. And the Malik and Miriam form a package as well to tell us that there is good and bad in the world, and those are real concepts. And the Malik teaches us that when things are really bad, it doesn't matter if there's good mixed in, they're still bad. And Miriam teaches us when things are really great, it doesn't matter if there's some bad mixed in, they're still really great, and that can't be outweighed. Okay, so we will stop there. Should have a